Hi everyone, Dan Cassidy here. Welcome back to Viewpoints on the UBS Market Moves podcast channel, a new weekly conversation with my colleague Burkhard Varnholt, where we do update you on developments throughout global markets as well as the global macro landscape. Burkhard, thank you once again for spending some time today with our listeners, our clients on this Friday as we begin to close out yet another trading week. Welcome back, and as always, it's nice to be with you.
Thank you, Dan. Thanks for having me. It's a pleasure to be here.
Absolutely. So a few topics we want to cover with our audience for this week, maybe to begin reflecting on the annual spring meeting of the International Monetary Fund, or IMF. This took place recently in Washington, D.C. The outcome seems to concede your confidence, Burkhard, about the global economy. So with that confidence about the global economy in mind, one can question whether it allows the Fed to postpone rate cuts. That's been a point of interest. So with that in mind, how should investors think about today's confluence of a strong economy, commodities on the rise, which you had mentioned during last week's conversation, as well as the prospects for rates staying higher for longer?
Well, good enough. Markets usually just reflect earnings. At least that's very true in the medium term, even though not every single day. Also good enough see the IMF finally kind of support our more upbeat view on the U.S. and the global economy, even raising their outlook for the world economy, even though the second thought on it is, you know, where have all the bears gone? But look, no beating around the bush. The U.S. economy continues to be the greatest economy on earth. Shoppers are doing what they do best. They shop. There's an unprecedented factory boom. All of this is driven by fiscal stimulus like there's no tomorrow, and that'll continue. Fiscal stimulus is really firing from all cylinders. Labor markets continue to be amazingly strong. Another month of unemployment below 4%. That's 27 months in a row. And that translates into shoppers' confidence because it means people have money in their pockets. And that's really the environment that I think investors must bear in mind when they then turn to the Fed. And clearly, the Fed is in no rush to, you know, lower rates. John Williams, the president of the New York Fed, I believe, said yesterday, I have a quote from him, very rightly so. He said, monetary policy is in a good place. I concur with that. He then said, we've got interest rates in a place that's moving us gradually to our goals. Again, we concur. And gradually sometimes means you take two steps forward, one step back. The one step back we're taking right here, right now, is commodity prices shooting up. But let's hope and pray that that will be a temporary and not a permanent issue. And then he continues, and so I definitely don't feel any urgency to cut interest rates now. Look, he's saying don't mess with success. You know, the U.S. economy is as strong as it gets. Why mess with it? A new crisis will certainly happen one day, and when it comes, at least we got ammunition to take rates lower. So what investors need to ask themselves is this postponement in rate cuts because inflation becomes permanent or because the economy is going strong? And our view is it's because the economy is going strong. And yes, there's a setback from commodity prices, but that should pass. So look at the medium to long term where earnings continue to be underrailed by all the geopolitics spooking the world.
So outside of the economy, corporate earnings, as well as monetary policy, another consideration, of course, being geopolitical concerns, ongoing wars, geopolitical tensions on the rise, especially since you and I, Burkhard, last spoke last Friday. I'm curious, why aren't markets seemingly reacting stronger to these geopolitical tensions?
Because markets really reflect earnings and interest rates. But first and foremost, earnings. And the reality is not many earnings are being dented by the tragedy in the Middle East or in Ukraine and in other places. Earnings continue to be strong, and it's too early to call where this commodity price pressure will take interest rates. Our view is it will peak sooner rather than later if it hasn't already done so. And that's our read into market at this juncture. I was recently looking at the statistics, and remember last week I gave you the statistics on how many times the S&P set new all-time highs in its post-war history. The answer was more than 1,000 times. Markets are in the business of setting all-time highs. And when you look at all the wars and geopolitical calamities in post-war history and look at how the S&P reacted medium term, it turns out, and I'm sad to say this, but crises are often buying opportunities.
With that, Burkhard, as investors increasingly consider investment approach during times of uncertainty, are there any other risks out there that investors should consider that we haven't yet covered today?
Well, one thing that does concern me gravely and also excite me as an opportunity is climate change, because while the sound of cannons is so loud and visible in our face, while climate change is so silent and seemingly remote, most people think it's happening far away from them, but it's not. You know, all these hotter and sometimes colder temperatures in winter and summer are causing harm and great destruction to our houses, to our infrastructure. And anyone who doesn't believe that just needs to look at insurance companies' payouts. I mean, natural disaster payouts, of course. And the reality is, over the last 5 years, very much like what stock markets do, but much more consistently than stock markets, they set new all-time highs every single year of the last 5 years. That is the silent glacial power of climate change. Between 2000 and 2010, there were only three hurricanes in the United States with a cost of $1 billion plus. The next decade, 2010 to 2020, there were 10 hurricanes with a cost of $1 billion plus. Since 2020, there have already been six of these $1 billion plus hurricanes. Just at the doorsteps of where I live in Switzerland, in northern Italy, we had first very hot summer, then we got floods in like Milan. And, you know, they caused so much damage to buildings and factories. It ended up at about $5 billion. And that was the largest natural disaster loss in Europe for the year and globally for that quarter. And it so happens that all the big urban economies are just by the sea, by the coast. Think New York, San Francisco, Miami, but also think elsewhere, like Shanghai and Tokyo or Buenos Aires or Lagos, Amsterdam and Rotterdam. Always the same thing. The whole of Holland lies under the sea level. So you can figure out, and I think London, you know, those yellow bricks they make their homes of, they're great to build with, but not good to build on, it turns out, because when the summer is hot, they're subject to subsidium. And now, guess what? The British Geological Society recently found out that probably in the next 5 years, half of all of London's housing stock will need to be improved because this yellow clay is subsiding. So there's a big bill coming all our way, and that bill consists of three parts: repair, prevent, and transition. And here's where challenge meets opportunity. You know, I've been talking about these long-term investment themes like energy efficiency, infrastructure, water infrastructure, security and safety. These themes will continue to go strong because humanity must and will adopt, and government will support and fund it.
Quite a wide range of risk factors globally, as well as those that could potentially yield opportunity, as you highlighted some of those themes for us, Burkhard. Now, one of the challenges many investors face, and this is on the topic of behavioral finance, cognitive biases. And I know you recently expanded on the widely known example of survivorship bias and even referenced an insightful illustration about how a young statistician saved the lives of many U.S. Air Force pilots when he pointed out the flaws of this bias. Now, seeing as how we're on audio today, our listeners cannot view that illustration, I was wondering, could you explain that example verbally for us and perhaps show how it applies to our discussion today?
Sure. I guess my mind was meandering around the example which all those of us who studied statistics at some point in our education probably saw. See, the anecdote is that during World War II, American Air Force pilots wanted to reinforce their planes, understandably, protect them, arm them better. And so what they did when the planes returned, they looked at where the bullets had shot and then plotted those areas and suggested those areas should be armed, reinforced. A young Hungarian-American statistician by the name of Abraham Ward objected. The young man took his heart and said, I think this is the wrong way to protect your plane. And by doing so, he saved many pilots' lives. He said, the mistake we're making is we're looking at the wrong subject. We're looking only at planes which returned, so they survived. We should imagine those that did not return. And thus, he took the pen and plotted precisely those areas of the plane which were not hit by bullets. And that was a trick. And by arming those areas which had not been hit by bullets, the Allied Air Force effectively reinforced planes very efficiently because you couldn't put too much armor to it because of the weight. Now, you can ask, what does that have to do with investing? A great deal, because survivorship bias affects most of us. We see the winners, everybody talks about them. We look at the S&P 500 and other indices, but we forget that these indices are a perfect illustration of survivorship bias. They kick out the wheat and they put in the strong companies. That's why they are so hard to beat. That's why the S&P 500 beats most stock pickers. What do we take from this? Survivorship bias, in my view, is a humbling truth that reminds us that things aren't always what they seem to be. We shouldn't just try to learn from winners and successes, but also try to learn from mistakes. That's holistic thinking. I think it was Louis Pasteur, the famous French biochemist, who said, fortune favors the brave, chance favors the prepared mind. I think that's a good way of putting it.
Well, Burkhard, thank you very much for spending some time with our listeners and our clients for another episode of the Viewpoints podcast here on UBS Market Moves. Wish you a nice weekend ahead, and of course, do look forward to continuing with our conversation in the week ahead.
And to you, thank you for having me.
UBS Chief Investment Office's investment views are prepared and published by the Global Wealth Management business of UBS AG or its affiliate, UBS. This material has no regard to the specific investment objectives, financial situation, or particular needs of any specific recipient and is published for informational purposes only. As a firm providing wealth management services to clients globally, UBS AG and its subsidiaries offer both investment advisory services and brokerage services. Investment advisory services and brokerage services are separate and distinct, differ in material ways, and are governed by different laws and separate arrangements. In the USA, UBS Financial Services, Inc. is a subsidiary of UBS AG and a member of FINRA SIPC. For information, please visit our website at ubs.com/workingwithus. For a full legal disclaimer applicable to the independent investment views produced by UBS, please visit our website at ubs.com/CIO-disclaimer.